Yes.
October 21st, 2015, Arizona City Regular Board Meeting.
Do they get excited when you drive in the driveway?
Ladies and gentlemen, we call the meeting to order. The governing board of the Arizona City Fire District will meet in regular session on Wednesday, October 21st, 2015, at 6 p.m. Meeting will be held in the district's firehouse located at 14022 South Sunlingen Road, Arizona City, Arizona, 85123. The board may vote to go into executive session on any agenda item pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 for legal advice for the district's attorney on matter that is set forth in the agenda item. Board members or other participants may attend by telephonic conference. The following topics and/or any variables thereto will be subject to the board consideration, discussion, approval, or other action. All items are set for possible action. If you'd please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, for the board, if you'll notice, we added item three, roll call, as a friendly reminder to the board chairman to take roll call for our recorded minutes. In attendance, we have Director Tim McCain, Director Steve Brady, Director Betty Hardy, and Director Bill Bailey. I'd like to welcome our guest tonight. Appreciate you coming out. Let's move on to item number five, Fire Chief's Report.
Thank you, Bill. So in front of you, I have three pages of the Fire Chief's Report. There's actually a total of 39 items. I won't go through each and every one. I'll just highlight as we go through there for the sections. Under manpower number one, we had one additional hire during the month of September. As far as our recruiting campaign, we have another two firefighter medics from Maverick Valley Fire in the recruitment process now, and we have three firefighter EMTs on hold. And under manpower issue again, on 9/17, which was the day after our last meeting, we ran 17 calls in that 24 hours, and I'll talk about it a little bit farther below. But of those 17 calls in that day, we had a structure fire, and we landed two medical helicopters and a mutual aid support for ALS coverage as well. And in our next section under facilities and equipment, on 9/17, we had an out-of-control truck come through the eastern property wall here on Sunlingen Road. It was at the same time we were trying to land a medical helicopter, and we were fighting a structure fire off of Lamb. So it did about $5,000 worth of damage, and we're working with VFIS right now to get that repaired. Hopefully, if the bricks come in, we'll start that repair this week. And then number five, as you know, we've been talking about this NFPA 1901 Appendix D regulations that we've been trying to find a more cost favorable choice to go forward with this. But unfortunately, to get out of that, we need a written certification. And no one will give us a written certification. So unfortunately, we've exhausted all of our means, and engine 566 is going for tires this month, and it's going to be about $8,000. Tires are about $1,200 a piece with insulation, new valve stems, and balancing. It's going to be about $8,000 a vehicle. We have three vehicles that are due up within this budget cycle. So I just can't find a way around that right now. We'll pass over training, but under procedures and SOPs, I'd like to highlight number 12. Since our last meeting, I purchased Target Solution Software. This is a software that tracks our OSHA, our NFPA, our Department of Health Services, and our ISO and national required trainings. So this is something we have to prove that we are doing training at 10 hours a month per member. We have no way really to do that right now. So without capturing that data, we put ourselves in a vulnerability for compliance. So we purchased Target Solutions to have a compliance check that Sorbanes and Oxley approved to help us with that. And our plans are to go live with that by the 1st of November. And on the second page, 13, I just want to focus our Adeltech scheduling software, which has been online now for us for about 4.5 months. Is really helping us. It's identifying those statistical challenging periods of time we have for manpower needs, which allows us to recruit more efficiently when we see the days month after month that we're having a hard time filling those slots. So it's actually gave us, has given us an additional means of expertise as well for operational excellence. Under the CON, I'd like to focus on number 16. On the 21st of September, we met at Robeson Ranch with Casa Grande Fire, Eloy Fire, and myself and Southwest Ambulance to discuss really the needs that aren't being met for the three agencies combined and how we can move forward until the CON decision is made at the Department of Health Services at the state level. The next section is on community services. You'll see there, we had 8 community services in the last 4 weeks going out and working with our citizens from either following up from a very serious call or landscaping issues that we've seen some people on. And the landscaping we're doing is really important. For the one in Durango, there was tumbleweeds that had blown up against the house. And it doesn't sound like much, but when you're in your 90s and you can't get out to address those, then when the cigarette butt rolls up into those tumbleweeds, it really causes a big problem. So we're going up trying to do those proactive landscaping duties we can do for those that are fitting challenges from there as well. The other part of that is, if you look at number 20, I was asked by ACES and PCSO to start mentoring some of the challenge youths in town that are just, maybe for lack of a better word, don't have a parental guidance unit at home that's going to provide that foundation for them. So I'm doing that on a monthly basis with these kids. I think it's the best of not only the fire district's knowledge to go forward with it, but I think it's helping the city overall as well. So that's really important to us as well. And then on 22, we've decided to consolidate all of the trunk or treats to here on the 31st, and we're going to do a big trunk or treat at the firehouse. It's a culmination of all the events. We've met with all the local churches. Pastor Tim was very integral in bringing it all to one place, so that's been helpful for us as well. We're going to focus on that and in fire prevention during the holidays, not just on Halloween, but through the holiday period as well. Then on the 23, on the 12th of November, we're going to be hosting the Fall Fling from 10 to 2. Again, this is going to be a big craft fair. It originally was located in the Tumbleweed parking lot. They've lost their insurance, so they can't have it down there anymore. So we agreed to have it here. It'll give the association a chance to serve some coffee and donuts, hot dogs and hamburgers, and drinks to bring in some more funding for them. And it also will provide a place for the community to continue that event. And as of right now, I think there's 30 vendors signed up, and that number's growing. So a good number of vendors to come in and do that for us. And finally, this one at number 24, I'm working with American Family Insurance Corporation to acquire additional smoke detectors. And most importantly, the batteries that go in that are very pricey for little or no charge. We don't charge to install those, but we're going out and buying those. So through American Family Insurance Corporation, they're working with KIDD, K-I-D-D-E, who is the manufacturer of smoke detectors, who has a parent relationship with Duracell batteries. So we're hoping to get these at either little or no cost to go forward with. And we've asked for 1,000 of them to be installed. The next section around the school and events and groups, we did 11 sessions with our school here in the last 4 weeks because of Fire Prevention Month. We have 5 that are standing every month. We serve at the cafeteria once a month. We read at the cafeteria once a month. We do the fire drills once a month. We're doing the academic night once a month as well. So out of those 5, we did an additional 6 being Fire Prevention Month. This month, we went over Sparky as well, and we had a coloring contest, and we hit the different assemblies, and Sparky was able to hand out winners for the coloring contest. And it was a big hit for us to really get to some of these kids that need us information knowledge as we move forward. Of those, I'd just like to highlight 26 of the events. We had another spaghetti dinner, which was our second one. We earned over $700 for the upcoming charitable events. And then 32, on the 10th of October, we sponsored the Arizona City Elementary Schools Athletic Funds. This was the bake sale and car wash. If you remember, we had 20 kids that had to drop out of the program because they couldn't come up with the $30 to participate. So we were able in just one event to raise over $500 for them. So they just have $100 to go. And I've since been told that they've raised that $100. So that was a big part to help those kids continue to participate. And then finally, under contracts, business, and issues, I just want to focus on number 37. As I said last time, the AT&T contract that we had was unacceptable. It actually was going to reduce our payments on a monthly basis, so we sent that back. Their third-party legal counsel, Black Dot Wireless, is rewriting that contract. I called them and told them I was going to remove power to their unit until we had a contract in-house. And miraculously, we received a check in the mail the next day. So I think that was good. Pepper and I have put that payment into the bank. It's not quite what we're looking for, but we've gotten everything we've had in the past. My goal is to make it plausible for both of us to be a win-win relationship as well as we go forward from there. And in 38 and 39, we just continue to work with Airbeam on a couple projects. One is a diesel generator. We're waiting for the impact from the LUS standard, which is a leaky underground storage tank standard. And the other one is around installing a large satellite dish for their fiber optic cable system usage here in town. It's a pretty large diameter dish. We're still getting the background information, but the dish will be 30 feet in diameter and over 24 feet tall. So it's going to be pretty large. So we just want to make sure it's not going to make an impact to our community without the right study proposal behind that. And that's the highlights.
Great. Any questions for the chief on any of these items?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments. You must be prescient for clairvoyant. I was going to ask for some agenda items for this meeting, but I decided I would just ask you to put in a report next month.
Sure.
About the 1901D. Uh-huh. I appreciate that. And in my independent research, nobody's going to do that.
Yeah.
Because what was told to me is they can't, they're not Superman, they can't see those cords inside. If they do it just on the outside, then whatever's on the inside could be really, they're just leaving them alone.
Yeah, United, to just that point, United Fire said, absolutely, Chief, we can do that for you. Bring it down. And I said, great, I just need it in writing. Ooh.
No.
Our attorney says we can't do that.
They won't document, right? Because they can't see inside those cords on those tires.
Yeah.
And because I talked to a couple of folks up there with the Empire Truck Trailer, and they said, you'll be really hard-pressed to find anybody. But, yeah, thanks for that. And as well, the SOPs, that was the next thing I was going to ask for in a chief's report. And on the same lines, can you keep those front burnered and kind of keep us in the loop on that? I would appreciate
absolutely
that. But, yeah, great work there. I appreciate that. You were thinking right in my alley.
Yeah, I really, you know, $8,000 is a lot of money for tires that still have the wear knobs on them that we're rolling once a week that haven't been out in the sun. You know, these guys can vouch for it. They've been decades of service here. It's just a shame. What typically happens, let's use Casa Grande, for example. When that seven-year mark is hit for those tires in the fire department, they go to Parks and Recs. And when they hit 7 years, then they go to Streets and Sanitation, or 7 years, they go to the garbage trucks, and then they get a hole in them the next week, and then you rotate through. Unfortunately, we just don't have that subsequent 21 years behind us. So it's a shame. What we're going to try to do is work with, I just lost his name, Arizona City Trash, Billy Wellen, and see if maybe he wants to purchase for his trucks. It's better than paying $50 to have them disposed of.
Sure.
And they just won't, we can't use them for anything else. And they literally have almost 70% of that little wear knob left on many of the tires we're going to have to change.
Right.
So it's, I hate to spend that money, but I don't see another option. Now, Appendix D off of NFPA 1901 is an ancillary standard. But you can bet your last 50 cents, if we get in an accident, the first thing they're going to reference is NFPA 1901 Appendix D.
Exactly.
That says it's recommended that you change it at 7 years. So it's just not worth the risk of $8,000 to do that. But it's a lot of money times three trucks for $24,000. So we'll try to continue to beat the weeds to try to find the best price. I've worked with Toltec Tire and Speedco to see if we could get a reference to maybe put a sign in the front that tires provided by Toltec Tires that at least take 10% off. I mean, that's going to be $800. So I'll keep doing that, but we'll try to push it as hard as we can. But you're absolutely right. No one would give us anything in writing. So
hands are tied.
Right. Yeah. And it, please keep us up to date and with the SOPs and our other things that are ongoing, because I
absolutely
know that. We need to keep on top of that as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of irons on that from the SOP and SOG.
I'd just like to say thank you to you, Chief, and to the whole fire district for coming out to our neighborhood day at the church.
Yeah.
It was a great thing, and you guys have been a part of that for several years now, and it's just a great help to us, and kids love it. So thank you very much.
For those that may be listening to this at a later date, our first speaker was Director Steve Brady. Second speaker is Director Tim McCain. I'm sure if we have any regulars that are going to listen in, they'll get to become familiar with the voices and so on and so forth, but we'll make it clear for the minutes. Betty, any comments or?
No, I was just concerned that he was having to turn in the tires to get new ones and that we were going to need them back. That was answered.
Yeah. You know, that's a situation that a lot of organizations really don't bring to the attention of their boards or their public, as a matter of fact. It's difficult enough to educate the public as to the job that these firefighters do every day out there, but it's also difficult to educate them to the fact of this is a good example of what's behind the budget and why we have to, you know, budget so much money for those kinds of things. So appreciate the information, Chief. I only have one comment on your report, and this is basically directed to the association. You had mentioned to me the other day about one of the benefits to the community from, I believe it was the second spaghetti dinner, the first one, where our entertainers have received numerous phone calls for bookings. And so that's kind of a push back to the community, and so the association needs to be commended for not only the fine job they did with the spaghetti dinners, but kind of getting a good mechanism for some feedback to the community folks that are trying to make a living. So I thought that was kind of neat. Okay. All right, that's all I've got. We'll move on to staff reports, item number 6 on the agenda.
Sure, so for September 1st through September 30th, we ran a total of 136 calls. One was a structure fire. You'll see there on line 19. Line 20, you'll see we ran 115 rescue or emergency medical response calls. We had 2 false alarms, you'll see on line 21. 24 was 18 other calls, which could be anything from a lockout to a false alarm or a false fire in the area, for that total of 136 calls. And the one fire was a garage fire we ran on the 17th, which was off of Lamon Benito. Second page, you'll see we had no occupational injuries for the month or any injuries that classify either recordable or non-recordable. And then you'll see if you go to the third page, this is the breakdown of the EMS report. So you'll see we have 117 EMS calls, but if you look back at the first page, you'll see a line 20, we only ran 115 rescue and medical response calls. So what that was is 2 of the other non-fire calls also produced a medical incident report. For example, the fire had a smoke inhalation, we had a car accident that had one. So that's why we have 2 additional calls in there for a total of 117 calls. Again, from the same period of time, from the 1st to the 30th. Of those calls of the 117, 1 was a treat and non-transport, 95 were a treat and transfer care. We had 2 that were a treat and release. We had 14 that refused treatment once we arrived at the scene. Unfortunately, we had 1 fatality, and we had 4 canceled calls for a total of 117 calls. And on the final page of this section, this is our fractile response times. Again, when we look for our average response time, we're looking for less than 4 minutes. So you'll see that our 90% fractile response time was 6 minutes and 34 seconds. We had a back-to-back-to-back for our highest response time, which was 9 minutes and 52 seconds from dispatch time. But that was our third call that we had a fire going with a crew on a fire. We had an ALS mutual aid, and we were landing a helicopter. And when the gentleman decided to come through the wall and join us, that was the third call. And it just took us time to get Eloy in because we were completely out of resources from there as well. The interesting thing behind that call is, you know, just a little bit of history. It was the 7th call of the day, and I was standing just on the inside of the wall with the PCSO officer when a gentleman had a seizure coming north on Sunland Gin Road. Hit a car at Winded, went through the park where 2 families were playing between the children and the mothers, shot across, they're estimating about 50 miles an hour, airborne with Sunland Gin Road, hit our ditch at 50 miles an hour and came through our wall. And luckily we had some K-rail barricaded back there, we have brush on. 10 degrees over, he would have gone right through myself and the PCS officer and the helicopter on the ground and the crew. So it just worked out very fortunately how he came through. He moved those 1-ton K-rails, 8 of them, about a foot and a half after coming through the wall. And his impact on the wall was so hard that we have loose bricks on the perpendicular surfaces, two girders back that they're going to have to replace. So he hit that wall off 60 miles an hour. So like I said, we had a fire going, mutual aid going. Yeah, that happened when I ran over. There was two gals underneath the truck. I had two moms screaming at the park. They couldn't find their kids. Luckily, the kids ran behind the church, but the mothers thought they were somewhere between the park and here. So we had a lot of help on the ground, luckily, from PCSO, but it got really busy really fast, and we ended up running 17 calls that day. So that's where that 9-minute and 52-second response comes in. We can't do 17 calls in one day. That's a lot for us. That's a lot for everybody. But that's why we're above our fractal response time. But even with that, we still have an average response time of less than 4 minutes on scene. So that's helpful as well. Yes.
The 115 calls, does that count the calls that come here for help?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Chief. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on to item number 7, correspondence. Do we have any correspondence, Chief?
We received one we put on the board. Escapes me what it was now. We received one for a thank you for service. I'll grab it before the meeting's over. So, would you mind grabbing it? It may be. If you wouldn't mind grabbing it, please.
Okay.
But we've had a couple stop in. We had one gentleman stop in that was one of our public services. His wife was very ill. In hospice care, we were able to go over, help him out, get her back into treatment. And when we came back, he came in and thanked us, and we ended up going to the house to check on her because they received a new hospital bed for her hospice care. And that's another one where we did all the batteries and the smoke detectors. Well, he came in and verbally thanked us, and I believe we received one additional card.
This is the new one that you just put on.
Okay. Yep. So we talked about this one. So. Carol Eady said, I want to thank everyone in the fire department for coming to my rescue and aid when all the alarms were going off. I don't know what I would have done without you. And this is a gal who has got a high A-frame ceiling, and the smoke detectors were going off, and she didn't have a ladder to reach them as well. So we were able to go over the ladders and replace all the batteries. And this is the gal here on Linden that we talked about last month.
Wonderful.
So just those two.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, agenda item number 8, consent agenda. Anybody have any questions, comments, or anything in the consent agenda? Take a minute or two to kind of look through that again real quick.
I have a question. It's probably strictly a female question. On page 43, and it was interesting seeing what the first quarter brought for us in this time period.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to continue to have this 30% overage in payroll?
Well, it's a good point. I think if you look at page 44, at the bottom there are total operating expenses. You'll see for the first quarter we're at 19%. So we're a favorable 6%. But of that, there's an asterisk behind that because we know we have two big payments in a year. We have our building payment and our truck payment. But we are going to run high in payroll. If you remember saying that we're trying to get the 4-person crew, and to get to that crew, we're going to have to train 5 and 6 people to get to those 4. So this first quarter, we're going to have a large bolus going up into the second quarter, and then it'll trail down for the third and fourth quarter. But it will be higher, but we're just using the efficiencies from facilities and equipment to move in there to have that 4th person on staff.
Okay, I just multiplied it by 4 and gulped.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you look overall, we're taking different coffers to go through. At the end of the first quarter, on theory, we should be at 25%. We're only at 19, so we're 6% favorable.
Okay.
But we will watch that closely to see if the budget allows us to do that.
Okay, any other questions or comments? I have a motion from one of you to accept the consent agenda.
I make a motion that we agree upon the consent agenda.
Okay, we have a motion from Betty Harding that we agree upon the consent agenda. Those in favor of Betty's motion. Or I need a second. Second, please.
I'll second.
Okay, you got an arm wrestle for that.
He'll beat me on that one, so give it to Steve.
Okay, Steve Rady seconded the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, next one is number 9, call to public. I don't have any cards in front of me, but is there anybody in the audience that cares to make any comments at this time?
Just a quick comment.
Okay, identify yourself, please.
Jenny Carlson.
Jenny Carlson.
There was a emergency call, 911 call that I made Sunday to the Hope Church down here, and they got there in less than 5 minutes, and the ambulance was there in probably about 6 minutes.
Great, all right. Thanks, Jenny. Okey-doke. Next item on the agenda is item number 10, old business, and at this point in time, what I'd like to do is consolidate item number 1 from new business with item number 1 in old business. These two items read, discussion, possible action, reference board member election / appointment, and that was brought by myself. The next item, number 1 under new business, discussion, possible action, reference letter from board member James Leary. As these two are related, what I would like to do is indicate to you that James Leary has submitted a letter of resignation dated October 2nd, 2015, and I'll pass that around for your perusal. I hate to see that coming. It kind of took us all by surprise, but I know there's been a lot of things going on there, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept Jim's letter of resignation effective October 2nd of this year, 2015. Can I have a second to the motion?
Second.
Betty Harding made a second to the motion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. The second part of that then is the board member election and appointment status. Mr. Leary served a 4-year term, or not quite 4 years, this is 3 years this next month, but he is one of the 4-year runners. So that will be a 4-year term that will be available a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Question to the board at this point is, do you want to go ahead and seek another board member for the balance of his 4-year term, that which would be another year before the elections, or do you want to just kind of go on as we are? It's up to you all.
And then we try and find somebody. Continue as we are, but try and find somebody.
Okay.
Agree with that. I just, board member Brady agreed. Yeah, we need that fifth voice.
I agree with them.
Okay.
They're wise.
All right. I think we're all in agreement that we need to pursue another board member for the fulfillment of this next year's term. And so we'll ask staff to go ahead and do the proper notifications and come back to us next month if we get anything. And,
absolutely. I'll ensure that happens tomorrow.
We'll go from there. Appreciate that. Okay, item number 2 under old business, discussion, possible action, reference outstanding bill from Boyle. I can't pronounce this name. Anyway, it's Mr. Whittington's law firm up in Prescott. Chief?
Well, unfortunately, this is a mute point because it hinged off of board member Leary's justification of what he spent, why he spent, and how come we didn't notify anybody. So since that's no longer a viable option, I would make the recommendation that unfortunately we have to pay this bill because it's outstanding service. I have no justification or authorization that was spending, but he did it on behalf of the Arizona City Fire District Board, so I would make the recommendation that...
have a recommendation from Chief Heaton on the floor that the bill be paid. Yeah. Can I have a motion to that effect?
Yeah.
Steve Brady made the motion to pay the bill. We have a second on the motion. Betty Harding seconded the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
And we write it on the check paid under protest.
Well, unfortunately, I can't even request the breakdown of what it was. So
right.
It's,
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. First item under new business then, this is discussion, possible action, reference wall damage, Chief Heaton.
So we've talked about this briefly before. I just wanted to bring the board up to speed that it appears the wall damage would be approximately $5,000 to repair, but as they get into it, we'll find out how loose the columns are at the base. VFIS, who is our liability and property insurance provider, Wyatt Wong, was out. They looked at the estimators out. The building contractor's been out as well to look at that. So I just want to let the board know that of that $5,000, we have to pay our $500 deductible. So I've instructed VFIS to go after the insurance company of the driver of that truck to refund our $500, or we'll petition in order to do that. So it's something I've always done. I think it makes good business sense. The gentleman driving the truck didn't have a license. It wasn't his vehicle. Shouldn't have been driving. So I just want to bring the board up to speed. That looks like it's going to be about $5,000, and we will go after our $5,000.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did they have insurance on their car?
The grandmother who owned the pickup truck does, and is being financially responsible for the damage.
Okay. They are going to be picking up?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they stated they are, and their insurance company is covering everything but the deductible. Deductible is our responsibility, so we petitioned to get our $500, and the grandmother stated she will have no problem. We'll have to write that out of her own pocket, but stated that her son is a person we run on quite often.
Okay.
Too bad Grandma has to take the brunt of it.
Does that estimate, and I'm sure it probably does, it includes repainting. Are they going to be able to match our current paint, do you think, or are we going to have to paint the whole wall?
Well, it'll be part of the process.
All right.
So we're waiting for the bricks to come to see how close they are, but we'll try to make it like in kind when it comes back.
Okay. Next item, discussion, possible action, reference, community service events, Chief Heaton.
So again, we've talked about this a little bit in the chief's report, but I just want to bring it to board's attention. We had, we've done 12 so far. We have the trunk or treat coming up. It's not drunk or treat, like a lot of people thought our sign said, but trunk with a T or treat. So we're hoping to get 40 trunks out there for people. So again, if you could come and bring your trunk, we'll just ask for a couple bags of candy to set up for the community. What we're trying to set up for this is a coalition of all the events we used to do in town, but we're trying to do it from 5 to 8. So we have an animal show being donated from the First Baptist Church. Pastor Tim's church is bringing down some trunks as well as some candy. The LDS through Bishop Ethington is donating the hot dogs, and there's going to be a small chili cook-off. But what we're going to try to do is truly make it a 5 to 8 p.m. function versus just grabbing your candy to go. There's a couple of challenges we see. We have very dark streets. We have a lot of costumes that are very dark with non-reflective metals. And we have some areas we just don't want our kids to be walking on. Cross Sunland Gin back and forth is just a high-risk area. So our goal is to truly make it a 5 to 8 p.m. Event, so we need a lot of trunks to do that. We'll help supplement with candy, but we're going to do some longer tables. These tables will be set up. Draw a picture and win a bigger candy bar. Put together a little essay of more than 20 words and get a basket of candy. We're going to bob for apples. We're going to put popcorn on a string. The First Baptist Church is donating the popcorn as well. So, really trying to slow kids down. We're thinking of a bouncy house as well to truly make it a community event, and then open up this chili cook-off contest. So you bring a pot of your best chili, and you'll serve little Dixie cups of it, and have voters to that, and whoever wins that will win a $20 gift certificate or something from there. We were fortunate, Pepper and I, to work with Peter Piper Pizza and get a lot of gift certificates from their corporate office. So we have a lot of fun things we can give people, a free pizza and some candy that we're hoping to truly slow down the kids with the animal shows, the fire prevention activities, have the fire extinguishers and the smoke detectors out. Talk about the difference between a carbon monoxide detector and a CO2 detector and a smoke detector. So really make it a community event is our goal to go forward with that. So that's on the 31st of October. So I'm asking if I can get the board members to bring a trunk down for us. We'll help you with that. And then we're going to have a trunk decorating contest. So the best trunk's going to win a prize as well, too. And we've got a lot of people ask if they can bring livestock down. So I don't know what that means, but I'm hoping it's not big livestock. but for a little petting zoo, so we'll see. So, but a good community event to give back. It wasn't Steve, so I will say that. It wasn't Steve. So I wish it was Steve, but it wasn't Steve so far. But I think it's more of the sheep and goats type deal for that. And so that's on the 31st of October. And then on the 12th of November, we're having that fall fling with 30 to 40 vendors set up as well. Another opportunity to get our fire prevention out, triad out, get some folks out. This was a community event that had great response, Pastor Tim, I think, from last year, but we just lost the insurance. So we're just moving down here and do the same kind of thing and set it up. Everybody's going to have a 10 by 10 tent, set it up around the station as well, have the trucks out for the kids to play on, and just another opportunity for a community event to get some of the kids in as well. And then the association is thinking about doing a Christmas dinner, because of all the other things you can't do, the Thanksgiving dinner, but to do a Christmas dinner similar to what we did on spaghetti night, but it'd be some turkey, stuffing, is it green beans or corn? I can't remember. Cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie.
Mashed potatoes.
And mashed potatoes. So, you know, basically the same type of thing, but have it down. The Casa Grande School has agreed to bring their choir down for their Christmas choir to do that. They've asked us if they can do that, so I think that's pretty exciting for them to come down and do that for us free of charge, so that's outstanding. C.C. Culler, who is the gentleman who played the first one, has asked if he could come back and play. Mr. and Mrs. Claus from Make Kids Smile has volunteered their time as well to be here for a lot of those events as well, too, as we get into the fall. And it'll roll us right back to our Fly-In Santa, where we're set to adopt families. We're working through the logistics on that now. Santa's going to fly in. Air Evac said they want to be part of the process. We've had a couple of local clubs that have said they want to adopt some families holistically, and some just want to participate as well. For example, there's a local, you might say, motorcycle club that's made up of seniors that want to be the reindeer for Santa when he's coming on their motorcycles, as long as they can adopt a couple families. And we said, absolutely. So we'll keep working on that. And like I said, we have Mr. and Mrs. Claus set up as well. We'll do a very similar process to what they did last year. We're hoping logistically to make it a little smoother, but we'll work on that process as well.
Can any of you know of a senior citizen that lives alone, if they're not really needy, but just will be able to take Christmas cards?
Great. Thanks, Pepper.
And then the last one coming up, we're going to do a cookies and coffee with the chief and Santa. Probably midweek on the third week of December. It's something I want to do for, we haven't done, to Pepper's point, a lot with our seniors. We've always been basically adolescent focused. So for some of those that have family at a distance, we're going to do probably a Wednesday, open it up through Triad and working with Carol Wilson and Jeannie as well. With the Triad is just to do probably like maybe a 10 to 12, and then again a 2 to 4. I've just come down and have Christmas cookies. We'll have the choir down here to play. Santa will be out, and give our seniors a chance to come down and be part of the holiday season. Make some decorations, maybe make an ornament, whatever we can do. But just another opportunity for our seniors to get into the holiday spirit.
We have a tree lighting ceremony.
We do. That'll be part of the Fly-In Santa as well.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Same.
And then the other one, that just closing, that Dean and Randy are helping with, is a big help with this, is I don't know if we've never participated in an electric light parade, or it's been a long, 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 long time since we have. But we're going to put our engine in, our backup engine in it this year. We got a crew ready to go. And then Dean and I are going to try to get our hands dirty and see if we can get the old 42 ready to go in time to have two entries. I don't know if we'll make it this year. But Dean has stepped up to really lead a charge to get the old 42 engine back running, back in service. He's volunteered his personal equipment to help us with that. The charges won't be much. There's some things we have to change. Your old split bead rim tires, which are dangerous for those who have been around a while, that were tire killers for a lot of reasons. And we're going to change those out. But the rest, we're hoping it's just cosmetic. And we're hoping Dean has put together a spreadsheet. He and I are going to meet on Friday, go through that. But our goal is, if we can get it running, great. But if not, we're going to have our first entry into Electric Light Parade, which I think is a huge opportunity for us to give back to the community as well. That's in Casa Grande. If you haven't seen it, it's a great parade to go watch as well. Mm-hmm. But I just want to bring that to the board's attention. We are busy. to say the least. And we got a lot going, so it's only going to get busier. So just want to bring that to the board's attention. Again, if you see those and can participate and come, Pepper and I post those for the association and the board, everyone, so there's no implications we get more than two board members. It's okay, we already post those. But we really need trunks. We need people to help stand in line. So the barricade, I know last Christmas from what the group says, that line was around the station beyond. So we're going to try to logistically streamline that so you don't feel like you're at Disneyland on the first week of summer vacation.
It'd be nice if we could make it just Arizona City residents.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten that a lot even from the Halloween of saying, Chief, how are you going to prevent non-Arizona City residents to come in? And I said, you know, I don't have a fence big enough to go around the community, and I know you don't. Yeah. So I'll do my best, but I was in Casa Grande today getting supplies, and a couple guys at the counter said, hey, we heard about your trunk or treat. So we're going to get some of it, but I'll tell you what, if we provide an opportunity for a safe environment for a child, it's a win-win.
But just an idea real quickly for like the Santa fly-in, you know, possibly distributing some tickets through the schools, that those tickets are then accepted here, you know, when they come in, would limit it at least to our schools. Yeah. You know, you've got to have a ticket to come through, you know. The school's always very open to distributing things for people, so there, just an idea.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good one. We actually, somebody had brought that up, but then we found out it's just, you know, it's only ACES, Toltec, private school, Mary C. O'Brien, and there's another private one in Casa Grande that are Arizonans as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great point, though.
Yeah.
At least we can kind of do that. Same thing with the trunk or treat. Well, you know, I don't know how you prevent kids from Eloy coming over, you know. And if in essence, you know, we can get the one more person to talk about smoke detectors doesn't have it, I'll buy all the candy I can buy. So
if I can make a recommendation, Chief, tomorrow would you fire off a letter to Donald Trump and see if he's got some ideas on the wall?
Yeah, it's tough. It's, you know, when we got together, I met with all the pastors in town. Pastor Tim was part of that as well, and just saying, hey, can you support this process? It's non-denominational, but let's face it, it was all supported by the faith and the communities and the churches behind the faith. So it gave us a good chance, Pastor Darrell, Pastor Keith, Bishop Ethington, Pastor Tim, and we've gotten a great response, and everybody's donating something. The hot dogs are coming this way, the popcorn's coming this way, and animal shows coming this way, trunks are coming over, and we're trying to take all those 10, 11 trunks in multiple spots and put it all together as well, too.
Suggestion, a lot of people will end up parking across the street if we can have somebody out there with flashlights for coming across the street after 6 o'clock.
That is
great. Lighting it somehow.
Yeah.
We requested through Sheriff Babu to get some assistance. That's a challenging night for them, but what he has volunteered is all his citizens on patrol, which, you know, is the Duane, the Monaco group is back, which is five guys with 50 years of service each from Washington State Police. So there's a lot of people that know logistics of traffic, so I think it'll help as well.
We don't have access to a light tower other than off our apparatus.
Yeah, we can do it off our apparatus.
And light that area.
And then Pastor Keith said that he would turn his lights on as well to restore your First Baptist. We're going to, if it's dry enough, we're going to try to put them over here on this lot just to the south of us.
Sure.
Because when there's traffic, then
good idea.
You know, that accident we had is a perfect example of the risk that could happen. You know, he came through at 50 miles an hour. And in essence,
right,
he missed almost everything of value and hit the least valuable thing coming through town. So
I won't commit to anything, but let me see what I can do about putting a light tower out there.
Oh, okay.
I may be able to work it down.
Appreciate that, Steve.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, good deal. All righty. We are at item number 12, next meeting date, Wednesday, November 18th, 2015 at 6 p.m. And for the board, agenda request forms are due the 10th. With that, if there is no other business, I'll go ahead and call for adjournment at 6:46. And I believe we called the meeting to order around 6:01 p.m.